I prayed a lot. Will somebody come and pray for this man, pray for his family, his children? Brian's coming.
Father, we just... Father, we just lift Guy up to you, Father. We thank you for his testimony. Lord, over the time he's been here, Father God, I've got to know this brother, and he's the true deal, Father God. I thank you for everything that he's gone through in his life. He's told us about those things, Lord. I thank you for bringing him out of addiction, out of all the things that he's been through in his life, Lord. You're the healer. You're the one that can remold us and remake us into your image, Father, and you're doing that. Just as he said, Father God, day by day, as he surrenders those things to you, Father God, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you keep your hand upon him. You lead him and you direct him in the path that you have set for his life. And you continue, Father God, to just walk with him. Let your Holy Spirit lead and guide him, Father God, in the path that you have set for his life, Father. Just continue, Father God, to encourage him. Put people around him, Father God, that can lift him up, that can encourage him and give him direction, Father God, from you, Father. And give him guidance, Father God, through scripture, Father God, and through just prayer. And exactly what Nathaniel was saying this morning, Father God, through encouragement, Father God, from your word. And Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for this brother. Thank you for the courage he had to get up and give his testimony, Father God. And that this testimony, Father God, may have encouraged another person today, Father God, to give their life to you, to surrender their life to you, Father God. That's what these things are for, Father, is to share and to lift up others, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus. Amen.
I thought Jen was coming up here. Jen, I thought you were coming up here. I thought you were coming up here for the microphone. Not yet? Next week? Okay, all right. You know, I think of the scripture where Jesus said, those who've been forgiven much love much, and if you know Guy, you know that he loves big. And God's done a work in his life, and he's not afraid to tell other people about it. I think he's afraid if he doesn't tell people about it, it's going to burn up inside his bones. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. We're talking about having an open mouth, and our words have power. It's one of the ways that we're created in the image of God. We've been given the ability to speak, and when God spoke, he created, and he gives our words power. So the things that we say about ourselves, over our lives, and the people around us have a power to shape what reality is, either the way that we see reality, or it eventually turns out to bear fruit. And so we have to be careful of the things we say. We don't want to be complainers and grumblers. We want to give praise and thanks and glory to God. We want to tell the word of God and stand on truth. We want to be careful of the things that we agree with and the things that we don't want to say yes to things that God doesn't say yes to. And we don't want to say no to things. Make sure I say that right. We want to say no to the things that God says no to. And the things that we allow and we tolerate in our world. We want to line up with God's word. And we want to be about sharing the good news of Jesus through our life, through our works, but especially through our words. And so we're going to wrap up today, and we're going to be at a familiar verse. And I'm not going to try to, you know, preach the best sermon on the Great Commission that you've ever heard, but I want to just reason through Scripture and remind you of the last words, some of the last words that Jesus gave to his disciples. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, and Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, we can hear the Great Commission, and we can even think about sermons we've heard in the past on the Great Commission. And sometimes we have a church mindset where we compartmentalize evangelism or missions into events or trips or weekends or maybe a big push or a certain type of meeting that we have in church. Or maybe we think that's for a certain type of people. It's for pastors. It's for evangelists. It's for people like Guy who really have experienced God's grace. But, you know, it doesn't enter into the reality of some of our lives on a regular basis. When we look at the words that Jesus spoke, and we go back to the original language, when Jesus said, go, therefore, really the tense and the grammar of that verb implies as you go, as you go. As you're going about your life, you are to be doing this great commission. What's awesome before that, though, he begins the Great Commission by declaring his authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven on earth and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. This is wonderful, incredible news that we have been deputized, if you will, in the authority of Jesus. Jesus has all authority. And he says, therefore, based on my authority and in my authority, as you go throughout your life, you are to make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. We are to go in his authority, announcing and declaring the kingdom of God is at hand. We have a prayer Jesus taught us to pray if we're true disciples. Let your kingdom come, this is in the Lord's Prayer, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that prayer is a commitment and a rally cry to go about our lives as we go, wherever God has planted us. We are to live to see his kingdom come. And we announce the kingdom, we announce the victory of the king, and we live as though it was true, and we pray as though we believe it, and we see God move and work. This isn't a new thing. When God called the children of Israel and out of Egypt and was forming a nation, he told them in Deuteronomy 6 that they're to go and they're to be talking of the Lord when they sit down, when they walk, when they lie down, when they rise. They're to be going through their life, every portion of life, every part of your day. You're to be looking for opportunities to announce that the kingdom is near. And the king is risen, and he has all authority and power. And we demonstrate it with our faith, with our prayer life, and with our actions. And we pray to see his kingdom come and his will be done. And that does include, we've had 4 other weeks that we have to open our mouth and share this good news. Amen? Ideally, we're living as light and salt. We have our good works that we're shining out so that people will give glory to God. So if we have a relationship, and as we're going, as we're living our life, hopefully the experience of the world of us is already that we are good news. We are good news people with a good news message. So that our character and our life and our works backs it up. But we don't let that stop us. We don't think, I have to get my life in order or together enough. I have to stack up some good works before I feel qualified and ready to speak about Jesus. I can talk about what he's doing. And just like Guy shared, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, I love this, Paul is writing. I think I copied it here in my notes. Okay, in verse 4 he says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. I want to read that again, verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. There's something about that we don't experience the fullness of the knowledge of the good things that God has for us if we're not sharing our faith. It is to overflow and bubble out of us. And it's evidence that we're believing and receiving it correctly, that we bubble over with a joy to share it, that we can't help but share what God has done. Guy embodies this. You see him. He can't help but give praise to God for what God has done in his life. And the good news is, if you think, I'm not that person, Scripture invites you to taste and see that the Lord is good. There's an invitation, an open invitation for you to experience God's love. We sang that song. It's not an old song, but it's an older song. One thing remains, your love never fails and never gives up. That experience is available to you. God is saying, taste and see. Come experience my love. Test me in this. Try this reality of living in the kingdom. And you're going to overflow. You're going to bubble over. And it's good news, right? That's a good news message. Continuing with the theme of as you go, in Acts chapter 8, the believers were scattered through persecution, which is a hint that it won't always be easy. It won't always be well received. It won't always be smooth sailing. And it says, as they were scattered, those who were scattered went about preaching the word of God. They encounter opposition, they're scattered, and they just continue with the as you go, preaching the kingdom. There's a story. We've been going through the witness practice. We have a four-week small group study, and I think there's a lot of good testimonies coming out of that. If you want, I don't know what Delmer's experience at home has been, but Gene is overflowing with excitement every week in the witness practice. Delmer, is it your birthday today? Do what? Yeah, she's been telling us a lot. Jean holds Delmer in high regard, and she's been testifying to how God works through him. And he's always bringing people home, it seems, and giving them a bed and a place to stay. Is it your birthday today? Happy birthday, Delmer. Huh? Ron, is it your birthday as well? Must have been a good day for good men. Huh? Patsy? It was just a good day for good people, I guess. Awesome. Well, thank you, God, for all the people that were born on this day that you've blessed this body with. We've been going through this four-week witness practice, and it's a powerful teaching. It's free online. We can point you to it if you don't, you know, it doesn't work to sit in a class. If you want to hear a little bit about it, is Jody back there? Jody has some testimonies of how God's working in her life through it. And one of the things they taught us just this last week, the third week, they were looking at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This is in Acts chapter 8. And if you remember the story, you know, Philip had heard from the Holy Spirit to go to the street south out of Jerusalem, going to Gaza. And he runs up, he goes out there and he sees a chariot. He runs alongside a chariot and he hears a man inside reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And he asks him a question, begins a conversation. He's reading Isaiah 53, I believe, which is a prophecy about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He shares the good news with him. The eunuch, the Ethiopian, says, look, there's some water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? And he's baptized, and the eunuch goes on his way, and the Spirit carries Philip away. It's a beautiful story, and they extrapolated out of that. I think it's really helpful, and it fits with what we're saying, but I'm going to add to it. And as you go about your day, you can follow this pattern. And it begins with listen. Philip, listen to the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that God has good works. We are his workmanship, and there are good works that he's prepared in advance for us to walk in. If you're a follower of Jesus, even if you're not, when you become a follower of Jesus, he has good works for you to walk in. He's prepared in advance. And so we listen to the Spirit and we get our directions for the day. We may have, you know, he told Philip just to go to this street. That happened in the book of Acts. Sometimes you just go on a walk or a journey and God will lead you. Sometimes he brings people to your mind. Sometimes he brings a scripture to your mind or a scenario. We listen to the Holy Spirit. And this is what we do. I'm going to add this part. We go. As you go. We go about our day or we go in obedience. If we don't have specific directions, we go throughout our day. And then we look. Our eyes are open, looking and watching. And God will highlight to you where he wants you to go. It'll happen. It can happen here in Sunday morning. That's why we have these prayer times. I hope that you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You're looking around the room. And then you're going. And you're being obedient. One of the things I love about the Powerhouse, I'm back there, is that you can practice this dozens and dozens of times every single day. You listen to the Holy Spirit, you look about this crowd of crazy teenagers, and you let the Holy Spirit lead you to a place. And then what Philip did and what they point out is you ask. You begin asking questions in curiosity about the people. You don't know where the questions might lead. Sometimes you may, you know, you try to ask questions and the Holy Spirit will even give you questions to ask that get to the heart of the matter. And then the last thing they said was risk. When the door is open, when the Holy Spirit gives you an open door or a window, you risk. You in boldness step through that opportunity and you say, can I pray for you? Can I share something with you? Can I read something from the Bible? Can I tell you how God has worked in my life? It's a beautiful format that each of us can follow as we go throughout our day. And imagine if the people in this room woke up Monday morning, Monday through Friday, and we believe that God had divine appointments for us. You think there's people in your life that God wants to reach? I hope that you believe that. Do you think that he has the power to set up situations for you? You think he has the heart to move on their behalf? Do you think he has the wisdom to guide you in those interactions? Imagine if you woke up every day with that expectation and you listened and then you go and you're watchful and you start asking questions and wherever that conversation leads with an open door, you take a risk and you invite the kingdom into that situation, into their life. I could give you lots and lots of testimonies of how God uses that through imperfect people. You might mess up. Guess what? Go again. You might miss an opportunity. Repent. Pray over it. Ask for God to give you another chance or send somebody else and then be looking for the next one. But imagine if God's people would step out in faith looking for opportunities as they go throughout their day. We've been given a badge. We've been deputized. The authority of Jesus has been conferred upon us, given to us to go out into the world and announce the kingdom and to demonstrate the kingdom and to invite people in to the kingdom and introduce them to the King. Amen? All right. And so I want to challenge you with this message. And I want to hear testimonies of if you step out in obedience, what God does through this. I'm going to keep it short today. I don't know if it felt short to you, but I'm going to keep my portion short. And you can go back and listen to some of those teachings. If you want to grow in this, you can learn about the witness practice. If there's a big enough group that wants to do it again, we'll start it over. My group's on our third, just finished our third of 4 weeks. It's a powerful teaching that equips you to open up your life and see God work. Going in, continuing this open life, medicine, bigger series. Next month, we're going to be looking at an open circle, opening up margins in our life, in our friend group, in our schedule, in our home, that we make space to welcome people in so that they can learn to know Jesus. And I believe I'll stop there. We're going to go into a time of communion. I'll say a prayer, and we want to remember what Jesus has done on the cross, and we're going to have a baptism. Are you going to get the kids, Marissa? Do you want to bring them out? So I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you've done in our life. We thank you for what you've done in Guy's life. We thank you for what you're going to do as we go out and announce your kingdom. We announce that you're near, that heaven is invading earth and bringing people back and bringing them into your family through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we remember your sacrifice. We remember now your body that was broken and your blood that was shed for a new covenant, that we could walk in relationship with you, that we could be adopted into your family, that we could be ransomed out of darkness, that we could be given an inheritance and a home in heaven. Lord, I pray that we receive this with glad and thankful hearts, that we examine our lives and repent where necessary of ways that we haven't lived with you as our Lord, and we haven't trusted you as our Savior. We ask you to work powerfully in our lives. We trust you, we believe in you, and we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. We have